Pastor Richard, as he comes and ministers to us today. Hero?
Amen. Amen. Also, guys, if you would like to be water baptized, we would love it if you'd sign a community, a connection card, and we'll follow up with you if you would like to be water baptized as well. It is definitely something to celebrate. Pastor Lance, I was at an Austin Peay State University football game on Thursday night. Come on, anybody like Austin Peay? It's kind of a good thing if you do, since you live here. They won 41-10. Y'all clap for the win. And it was cool because there was a lot of people celebrating Austin Peay that night. I mean, I was like, man, if I could take a couple of those folks and bring them to Bethel on Sunday morning, that would be cool. There were some people flipping along the sidelines. There was this woman right behind us that kept saying, I see ya. I was like, man, all right, so feel free if you want to do that today. That won't be turned away. So good morning, everybody. Excited about being here this morning. Over the last weekend, we celebrated 15 years as Bethel Community Church. That's pretty awesome, huh? We also started our signups for our community groups. You're going to have an opportunity to sign up for those at the end of this message. And just to let you know, we had close to 100 people sign up for community groups last week. So we are excited about that. And so we are still looking forward to many of you guys. If you did not sign up, you definitely have a chance to sign up for that today. And we're going to talk today about something kind of interesting, and I'm super excited about it. Before we get started with that, I just want to let you know that salvation is a one-time event. It's the moment when someone believes in Jesus Christ and trusts in Him as their Lord and Savior. But discipleship is something completely different. It is a lifelong process of following Jesus. And some of you guys may know about that. And for some of you guys, that might be new, but we're going to be talking about that today. And I just wanted you to open up your Bibles. We're going to open up the passage of the Bible in Luke chapter 9. If you got a Bible, please open it up. I just want you to see it. Sometimes you just need to see something with your own eyes. Of course, we'll have it on the screen, but if you've got it in your hand, sometimes it feels like the closer the proximity you have to seeing it makes it a little bit more tangible. So if you got a Bible or you got a digital Bible on your phone, you can open up. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. This is Jesus talking, and in just a second it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed out on the road that someone said to Jesus, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house or my home.' But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Father, I just pray today that you would open our eyes and that we would fully embrace the call to discipleship. God, even though there is a cost to discipleship, God, we would embrace that call. Father, and I thank you today that your word would come alive and it would resonate in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, there's a phrase. I'm a big history buff, and I love history. Exactly 400 years ago, exactly 400 years ago, there was a famous Spanish conquistador named Cortez. And many pastors over the years have preached messages about this story. And there's this popular phrase. There's even a song on some of those Christian radio stations, and it's called "Burn the Ships." Anybody ever heard that before? "Burn the Ships." And it's born out of this legend that this conquistador, which is like a conqueror, from Spain named Cortez. He actually got into some trouble in Cuba and he moved forward and he was going to Mexico. And he was the captain of the ship and he had all of his sailors with him. And the goal is that they were going to take over this portion of Mexico. And so the legend goes that he knew that his sailors were getting very antsy and very scared about the idea of going into this new territory. This was Aztec territory. They were known for taking over and being kind of ruthless from time to time. And so they were a little scared. And as a good captain, Cortez knew that he had to do something to ensure that his sailors' minds would not be wandering about a mutiny to go back home or to turn the boats around. So when they got to shore, his first order, as legend says, is all the sailors got off the boat. He said, I want you to burn the ships. And he said this because he thought that they would want to go home. And if there was a plan B, they may not be all in on the mission. Everybody with me, say amen. Now, I found out through a little bit of digging, not even too much digging, but all those pastors had it wrong. The song on the radio is wrong. He actually never said, burn the ships. But he did say something very close to it. He actually told them to dismantle the ships so that they could use the wood to start a new civilization so that they could start from scratch and have some materials. And he also said, scuttle the ship, which basically would be like sink the ship, take what we need and then sink the rest of it. And he did that because he didn't want to go to prison in Cuba, but he also didn't want any chances that his sailors would go home. So he purposefully sank, scuttled the ships. And that's important for us today because there should not be a plan B in following Jesus. There should be no escape route. There should be no false sense of security that comes from anything outside of Christ. There should be no fallback plan. Many of us have a fallback plan in life. I saw on the news recently that people who are getting married, used to it was if you had a lot of money, they wanted you to get a prenuptial agreement. Now they're suggesting it for everybody. Everybody get a prenup. And it's basically, it's 50-50 if your marriage is going to last. So you might as well have your escape plan so that if things get rocky, you can get out of it. Anybody ever heard of a prenuptial agreement? There's no prenups with Jesus. Jesus doesn't cut deals with salvation. It's either all or there's nothing. See, some of us need to burn some ships in our lives today. Maybe you need to block a phone number or delete a phone number. You may need to, back in the day, we used to have little black books. Anybody remember the little black book with all the phone numbers in it? Some of you need to burn the little black book. Some of you need to end a destructive or negative relationship. Some of you need to end relationships that don't honor God. I'm not talking about marriage. Don't end that. God loves marriage. Just in case you think I'm thinking about that. Also, this story about Cortez has a lot to do with us today. That happened 400 years ago in 1519. But today, if we were asked, or actually if we were told that we're going on a long journey, a one-way ticket to some third world country, and we're not coming back, if we had a one-way ticket for everyone in this room to go to the nation of Haiti, and we're not coming back, some of you would be a little afraid. Some of you would feel, I don't know if I'm going to like it there. Some of you would feel a little discouraged at the notion that it could be highly unpleasant to be without the creature comforts, to be without the things that we have longed for in this nation, the things we have strived for and worked for, air conditioning. How many of you can live without air conditioning? No. All right, how many of you would live without the new Popeye's chicken sandwich? Oh. Or a Chick-fil-A close by. See, some of us would not want, some of us on the way there would cause a mutiny in the air. Like, we are not going to that place. And you could feel the feeling of feeling completely extracted from this beautiful land that we have, greatest country in the world. and go to a place that's not familiar, in a land that's not very pleasant in a lot of ways, with a people that we don't know. This is what Cortez went through and his people went through. And the reason why I ask like that is because it's really a lot and almost exactly what Jesus has asked you to do when you follow him. He's asked you to follow him as an all-in mission. An all-in mission. And we're going to kind of break down this passage of scripture today. And I just want to read it one more time. It says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, there's three different people who wanted to follow Jesus. But there was a high cost to discipleship.'" Everybody say, "There's a high cost to discipleship." Whoever told you it was easy or cheap, they were not telling you the truth. "So now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" And if you're familiar with this part of the Bible, they had recently seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things. They saw Jesus bend the wind and waves and walk on the water. They saw that Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, meaning he was illuminated right before some of the disciples' very eyes. He cast out demons. There was an argument among the disciples about who was going to be the greatest. They thought for a moment that maybe following this Jesus was all going to be sitting on thrones, golden roads and rainbows and unicorns jumping out of the clouds. They thought it was going to be just this wonderful, easy life of following Jesus. But Jesus had news for them. The call to follow Christ is very high, and it will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. I want you to see what Jesus had to say about that. That next line. He said, "Foxes have holes." They got somewhere to go. "The birds of the air have nests." They have a place to lay down at night. But it says the Son of Man, that's Jesus, he has nowhere to lay his head. He's saying, in other words, you think it's going to be easy, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to test you in all kinds of ways. Then there was a second person. Many of you may have said, "I'll follow Jesus," but not really fully considering the cost. The second person, Jesus said to them, "Follow me." He says that to all of us. You see that as he was talking to the fishermen. He said, "Come and follow me." He's saying that to you today. Wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus, whether you follow him or not, he's still saying every single morning, "Follow me." He said that to you this morning, "Follow me." He's saying that to you right now as you sit here. Jesus is saying, "Come and follow me." And there's a person said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." We will come up with a lot of excuses why we don't do what Jesus wants us to do, won't we? "Jesus, I'm too busy. Jesus, I got stuff to do. Jesus, I'm working on my degree. Jesus, I work 60 hours a week. Jesus, I'm trying to take care of my family. Jesus, I got sports I got to do with my kids. Jesus, I got all this to do. Jesus, let me clean up myself first so you don't have to do all the hard, heavy lifting." Many of us have created excuses to follow him. This brother was, "Let me first go and bury my father." You think, well, sure, Jesus wants you to. Once you say yes to Jesus, he's expecting you to be all in and to follow him. To be a disciple is to follow Jesus. That example used of burning the ships, the problem I have with this, and I feel like I saw this during worship, many of you have got on the ship, but your ship has not set sail. You're still in the dock when it comes to discipleship. So there's no fear of being trapped in some new world because you're still home. You may have said yes to Jesus, but you have not followed him. Following him means you have to leave somewhere and go somewhere with him. Y'all being quiet now. Austin Peay was a lot louder than y'all were. To follow someone doesn't mean we sit still. To follow someone means we have to actually leave the place where we are and go somewhere else where we may not know where it ends up. That is the call to follow Jesus. His third person. Remember, we had three people, and it says, another person said, Lord, I'll follow you. Notice that all these people wanted to follow Jesus. He said, but first, let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Basically, they wanted to have closure on some relationships. Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me finish this relationship out first. Let me do the little thing on the side that I really want to do. And then once that's fully finished, then I will come and follow you. Do you think Jesus expects you to follow him like that? Everybody say no. No. Jesus wants you to come. Pastor Ron said it like this. He said, Jesus calls us to come as we are. If you're in a relationship, if you're in a deep, bitter sin, you can't get yourself out, come and follow him in that moment. Don't get yourself out of the situation, because if you could, you probably would have. Jesus says, come and follow me. And he says, no one having put their hand to the plow and looking back. That's important. Many of us are still looking back, looking backwards. He said, no one who does that is fit. And the word there is useful. No one who does that is useful for the kingdom of God. You know, I just want to pray just for a second as we move on. I just don't want to leave this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that everyone who has their hand to the plow and is looking back, anyone who thinks that they have to get out of a relationship before they follow Christ and feels like they have to clean themselves up, God, I pray for you to answer that lie right now. And your answer is come and follow me. Father, I pray that they would begin today the process of not only getting themselves on the boat, but setting out to sail, to follow you today. Today is a day of action. Today is a day of decision. Today is a day where I will consider the full cost to follow Christ, and I will do it anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, the thing is, it is a high cost to follow Jesus, but there also is value, and the value outweighs the cost. If nobody told you about the benefit, you would just think, man, this is really horrible to follow Jesus. But it is not horrible to follow Jesus. See, Jesus gives you the greatest treasure on earth. He gives you himself. He gives you gifts along the way. He gives you the gift of salvation. And there's two real truths about this call to follow Jesus I wanted to share with you guys. First, when we live a life that follows Jesus, all of life becomes a mission trip. It's exciting. Anybody like Indiana Jones, the excitement of those stories of going to new places, doing new things, discovering new things? Life is an adventure when we follow Jesus. Many of you guys would probably say, life is boring. My job is boring. Doing my routine is boring. Doing the same old thing is boring. But when you follow Christ, it's an adventure every moment of every day. Ask Sergio. When you begin to live life for Jesus, and this is what this really means, intentionally living life for Jesus, that means that every place that you go is a potential new episode of your favorite show. What is he going to do next? What is Jesus going to do? When you go home at night and you see your kids or you see your spouse, what is he going to do in this relationship tonight? All you have to do is be available and ready. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Every day at work, and you go into your job, Jesus, use me today to encourage someone, to inspire somebody today, to encourage my boss today, and you will be surprised how he uses you. So the first truth about a call to follow Christ is it is a lifelong mission trip. And this is really where the rubber hits the road. The second one, which is so fun, we've talked about this for weeks, is when you follow Christ, you are not alone. One of the greatest advantages that Cortez men had is that even though they left everything, they left all their familiarity of their homeland, their country, their favorite foods, they left their family, but they were now galvanized together with the other men on that ship. You see, when Jesus calls you to follow him, it may feel like you are alone. You may feel like you're the only one in your family that wants to do things his way, but you are not alone. There is a man in the Old Testament, and he thought they were alone. He thought they were going to be overtaken, and the prophet was with him. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And he looked around, and he saw all the heavenly host that were there. And he said, there are more that are with you than against you. And I want you to just look around this room. You may not know everybody's story. Just look around. Don't look at me. Look at them. Just look around, left and right, front and back. Look around. All of these people are with you. They are with you. See, the second greatest thing is that when God calls us, when Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't leave us alone. And I just describe this in Mark chapter 3. This is not on the screen, but in the later chapter of Mark, there was a knock on the door. Jesus was hanging out with his disciples. There was a knock on the door, and one of his disciples goes and answers the door. And it was Jesus' mother and brothers at the door. Now, let's love if you can picture how this is. There's a knock on the door. They say, we want to see Jesus. The disciples turns around, say, Jesus, your mom and them at the door. Because that's how they spoke in Hebrew. Mom and them. And then Jesus was at the table. A lot of times when you see him at the table, he was reclining. You know, I like to think about he had a toothpick in his mouth, you know, clearing out a good fish sandwich. And he said these words that really fundamentally change the people in this room's relationship that you have. He said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers and sisters? Think about it. That's probably disrespectful to mama, you know. But he says, who is my mother? Who is my brother and sisters? He said, those who do the will of my father are my mothers and brothers and sisters. So you may not be from Clarksville. Anybody originally born and raised in Clarksville, raise your hand. Born and raised, besides you, Jonah. All right, just a few. That means everybody else is from somewhere else. That means probably your family. You don't go to a family reunion at Liberty Park. You probably go somewhere else. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter where you go. There are a people who love Jesus that are your new family. He doesn't say that's not his family anymore. But sometimes your spiritual family, the spiritual community that God puts in your life can become so much closer. It's because we're a people of faith. It's because in this life, you will go through some stuff and your family might be far away. They may not be able to meet you for coffee and talk, or they may not believe like you believe, but you got faith. I know the report is bad. I know it doesn't look good, but I believe. Well, you know what? Believing alone is very lonely. I'm going to say that again. Believing by yourself is lonely. Anybody believe for something by themselves? It's sad, isn't it? I mean, you might be strong. You might be able to hold on for a while. But when the answer to that prayer or it doesn't look like God is doing something you're believing in happens, it feels like you're all alone and it will discourage you. But when you lock arms with somebody, you know what? It's going to be okay. God is still in it. Because you know what? You can get tired of praying for yourself. I've been there. My daddy's been in the hospital more times than I can count. And he gets weary praying for the same thing over and over and over again. But a little fresh prayer from another friend that believes and trusts in the same God, it revitalizes my faith. Getting around some men on Saturday morning revitalizes my faith. It makes me believe, you know what? Maybe all things are possible to those who follow him. Just maybe their faith is true and maybe I can latch on to that and we can pray for this thing together. And you know what? When that thing comes to pass, it's not just me who rejoices. Everybody around me rejoices as well. It's the beauty. The Bible says that when one part hurts, we all should hurt. When one part rejoices, all of us rejoice together. This is the body of Christ. That's why he called us to walk together as a community. Can somebody say amen to that? I just want to pray one more time. We're going to finish this message up with just a prayer for community. A prayer also that we would burn the ships that need to be burned, that we would latch on to the people that God has called us to walk with, because it's a blessing, and the blessing outweighs the cost. You can just bow your head for a minute. Pastor Lance, you can come on up with me. Lord, I'd like to pray for those who have not necessarily burned the ships. They're still holding on to the dock. They're still holding on to sin, immoral relationships, immoral thoughts, bitterness, and unforgiveness. You've latched yourself and attached yourself to that for so long. I don't want you to deceive yourself today. Jesus' call to follow him means you have to burn that thing in your mind, in your brain. You have to let it go. You have to untangle yourself with that. And the way you untangle yourself with that is you follow him. You do what he said to do. If forgiveness needs to happen, you need to get around some folk that can help walk you through the process of forgiveness. If it's in an immoral relationship, you need to walk away from that and follow Christ. Today is a day of decision. Maybe that's you today. You're saying, I need to do that. I need to burn that ship. That plan B when it comes to following Jesus. Maybe it's plan C, D, and E. I want to do it my way. I want to follow Jesus, but let me first go and do this. Let me just go and do this thing first, and then I'll do it his way. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you today. Today is that day. Today is that day. Thank you in the back row. Today is that day. Today is that day. Today is the day we say, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. Today is the day I answered the call to follow Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Today's the day where ships get burned. My escape plan is no more. My way becomes a highway. I'm going to do it Jesus' way. Lord, you see all these hands, God. I pray that you would open their eyes and see you. They would see you, not the way it might work out. They would see you as high and mighty, as in control, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the boss, El Jefe, Jesus, high and lifted up, full of strength and glory and power. That's the one they're following. They're choosing to follow him today. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen to that. Amen.